This year marks the 50th anniversary of clean water advocate Riverkeeper. There have been milestone celebrations, including a star-studded fundraiser. Yet the heart of the Ossining-based organization's work is on the water, the Hudson River and its tributaries. I recently spent a few hours aboard the Riverkeeper patrol boat with Captain John Lipscomb.
We're up at the head of tide on the Rondout Creek at the Eddyville Dam. And there's a great deal of interest in the environmental community in removing this barrier to allow river herring to migrate, and other species like American eel, to migrate further back up the Rondout. And so, you know, a lot of attention being focused on this. And right now, as you can see, this is the limit for us in this vessel, obviously. We can't go further. But I always come back here on every patrol because I get a photo of how much water is coming over the dam every month, every trip, every patrol. And then that helps us understand how much of this sample water is Hudson River water and how much of it is coming in from the tributaries. Sometimes, for example, after Irene, I came in here the day after Irene, and right where we're right now, there were rapids. I was having to motor hard to make it up in the high volume. And right now, today, because it's been a dry summer so far, generally, there's very little flow here, which you can see by tracking some of these bubbles against the shoreline. Very, very little flow.
Captain John Lipscomb is in his 16th season at the helm of the Riverkeeper patrol boat, the Ari and Fletcher. We boarded the 36-foot Chesapeake Bay-style wooden vessel from the docks at the Rondout Landing in Kingston.
Barrier removal is a big deal. We just had the first barrier removal up on the Winanskill in Troy. And 5 days after the barrier was removed, herring were coming in. And we have underwater video of that. And so this is, there's a lot of interest. There's a lot of story. Everywhere you go on the water, there's a lot of stories to tell. There's fish passage, there's contamination, human contamination, there's shoreline development, there's the risk of crude oil transport. We just went under that rail bridge where, you know, 3 million gallon crude oil trains go over every day. And so there's all these kinds of stories in every part of the patrol territory.
From April into December each year, he travels up to 5,000 nautical miles between New York Harbor and Troy, searching out and deterring polluters, monitoring tributaries and waterfront facilities, conducting a sampling program to measure fecal contamination, and supporting other scientific studies.
I've been patrolling in here since 2000, and on a weekend, there'll be all kinds of boats anchored in here, and people swimming and tubing and stuff. And, you know, when I start, I mean, there's no blueprint for this kind of work. There's no manual. You don't read a book on how to river keep. And so the idea is to protect the water. To protect the water, you have to engage the public. So, you know, I was looking for the conversations that I was going to have with the public when I started. And I remember vividly a guy coming up and paddling on an inflatable mat. And he paddles up to me from his boat anchored here, and he says, "So how's the water?" And I thought to myself, "Well, you better hope it's okay, because you're in it." And I realized, you know, over time, that question was the question we heard the most: "How's the water?" And people weren't asking, "What's the pH?" They weren't asking, "What's the oxygen level?" The fishermen are interested in that for fish, but the public was asking. General public was asking, "Am I going to get sick if I swim?"
He says a water quality sampling program began some 10 years ago.
And, you know, when it started, I told the public in talks, I said, you know, I'm not really interested so much in putting in all this effort to make the river safe to swim, to be honest. Because my customer is the river. My client is the river. But the idea was to engage the public on issues that they care about in the hope that we would be able to broaden the conversation to other questions that the river needs the public to ask.
Lipscomb describes changes in water quality he has seen since 2000.
The changes in water quality are local. You see changes locally where money's invested to fix a problem. You know, we started working on Newtown Creek between Brooklyn and Queens in 2002, and there was oil all over that water body. And we went after Exxon. And now I can take you on Newtown Creek and you won't see any oil. And we've gone after a dozen other polluters there, from cement plants to scrap yards, etc. So in local areas where the state or Riverkeeper or other stakeholders have had successes, we see water quality improving. The other big change I see is the degree of public awareness and public engagement. That is just ramping up. And, you know, for example, some of the issues which in the past the public would have rebelled against a proposed development or a proposed pipeline solely on the risk to the public. Now, more and more we're seeing people come out and say, but what about the river? You know, that's going to hurt the river. And so that's really hopeful. It's really hopeful.
Riverkeeper launched its 50th anniversary celebration March 18th, the date of the first public meeting of its predecessor organization, the Hudson River Fishermen's Association. A group of recreational and commercial fishermen, concerned citizens and scientists, gathered at a Westchester County American Legion Hall with the intent to reverse the decline of the Hudson River. As for when Lipscomb might walk away from the wheel...
Until I can't do it.
I knew you were going to say.
I dread the day I have to walk away from this boat.
Reporting from the Hudson River aboard Riverkeepers Ari and Fletcher, this is WAMC's Hudson Valley Bureau Chief Allison Dunn.